Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us once again this morning for worship online here at the Well. We are so grateful that you continue to tune in week after week. It's hard to believe we've been at this as long as we have, but yet here we are again. And so I'm grateful for your faithfulness to be here with us. I'm grateful for your faithfulness in the way that you are continuing to live out your call to discipleship, even in the midst of quarantine. And so today we are continuing a conversation that we've had over the last few weeks since Easter. We've been leaning into encounters that Jesus has had with his early disciples and early followers. And so today we hear once again, hopefully, a familiar story to you. Maybe it's not, but it's what we hear in the church world call the Great Commission. It's the final words of Jesus, and it's found at the end of Matthew's account of Jesus, of the good news of the gospel, which is Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading in verse 16. And so if you'll focus your attention here, I'm going to read it for us. We find the disciples, they are headed to Galilee, and they have seen the resurrected Jesus. They've received instructions to go there and to wait. And so the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, Jesus that is, they worshiped him, but still some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." These are the final words that Jesus speaks over his disciples. And it is a commissioning in which he says, "I want you to go." And so what I want us to do is to consider these words. In fact, I like the way that Robbie Gallaty put it. He's a pastor up in Tennessee, and I was reading a book recently that he had written called Rediscovering Discipleship, and the subtitle of the book was Making Jesus' Last Words Our First Work. Making Jesus' last words our first work. I want us to be about making these last words of first priority for us, not only this morning as individuals, but also as a church. It is our call. In fact, as a United Methodist Church, our call is to make disciples of all nations, to make disciples for the transformation of the world, I should say. That is who we are as a United Methodist Church. Our mission is to make disciples for the transformation of the world. It is the command given by Jesus in that last moment before we read the account of his ascension later in Acts. And so what we have here is a direct command by Jesus. Now, there are several places throughout the gospel accounts where Jesus teaches, where he heals, where he performs miracles. He does a lot of things. He tells parables. But this is one of those moments where Jesus is incredibly direct and he's incredibly detailed. And so our approach to this scripture is going to be one of sort of a magnifying glass where we sort of take a look at each piece and part along the way. And so if you will, join with me and let's look at this. And so we're going to actually start here at Jesus' words to the disciples, and he says to them, he declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He speaks with authority. This is sort of a qualifier for what he's about to tell them. He has a command for them, but he's sort of setting it up by saying, okay, now that I have defeated death, now that I've been buried in the ground and I've come back to life, I now am about to head out and sit at the right hand of my Father. I now have the authority to say what I'm about to say. You see, he had taught them, and he at least had conveyed to them the message that they were going to go and spread this good news. It was going to be their task. But it was in this moment where Jesus has finally finished the task that was set before him to claim salvation for all the world. And so Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." So what I'm saying to you comes with incredible power, and I reign and rule over all the world. This authority is achieved by Jesus in the finished work of the cross. What Jesus did by dying on the cross. He took our sin. He buried it as he was buried in the ground. And then by rising from the dead, he defeats death and wins out and now sits at a place of authority over even sin and death. And so as he gives us, as he gives the disciples and us this command, it comes with incredible authority. And so the next thing we read, therefore, Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, anytime in Scripture there's a therefore, it bears the question, what's the therefore? Therefore. See what I did there? Anyways, it's a great question to ask. Anytime you see a therefore, it's always best to look back and to look forward. And so here, when we look at the therefore, the going back is, yes, Jesus speaks with this authority that we just said. And so it qualifies him for what he's about to say next. And so not only is it referring to what's behind, but it points us to what's ahead. And so as we look ahead, the next word we read is to therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them. Go. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, go is kind of a tricky word right now, right? We've got this command from Jesus to don't sit still, but go. And yet everything around us says, sit tight for a few more minutes. But here's what I want you to hear, especially today. Yes, you may be quarantined. You may be advised that it is safer at your home. And I agree with that. I'm 100% supporting that. I'm on board with it. But there are ways for us to go that doesn't require us actually even leaving the house. There are ways for us to be about the business of the gospel even when we are sheltering at home. The real deal here is that the gospel was never meant to land in our laps and stay there. You and I were never created, or, you know, the cross was never bore by Jesus, and the grave was never camped out in by Christ, and he didn't rise from the grave so that you and I could receive grace and just be fat and happy from here on out. No, we were given the command to go. The gospel was never intended to stop with us. Another way of putting that, and I've said this before, is that the gospel always, always comes to us on its way to someone else. I read that from Dr. Brian Russell. For some reason, I think before I may have quoted Luther with that. But either way, it wasn't my idea. It was somebody way smarter. But it resonates with my soul that the gospel comes to us on its way to someone else. So no matter who you are, no matter your story, all of us are meant to be conduits or channels of the good news of the gospel. We're meant to be channels of grace. It comes to us and it moves on to somewhere and someone else. We are to go because of the authority of Jesus, because this command, therefore go. And so as we continue looking at this, not only do we go, but we are called to do something. To go and make disciples. Now, there's two things happening here in this phrase, make disciples. To make disciples requires, there's a product we are seeking to find or to develop, to make, and that is a disciple. But we have to be intentional about making disciples. Disciples just don't happen. It requires intention. And so to make disciples is an intentional product. In fact, if you look at the life of Jesus and the time that he spent with his early disciples, it was not by accident. He called them by name and he lived with them. He lived among them and he was intentional about the time and energy that he spent working with them, teaching them, showing them, walking with them, breaking bread with them. It was on purpose. And the purpose was that of making a disciple. Now, what is a disciple, you ask? Well, thank goodness you did, because I want to tell you what that is. A disciple is simply, and certainly the way that we have defined it around here, is a disciple is someone who learns from Jesus in order to become like Jesus. A disciple is someone who learns from with the intention to become like. And so early on, there were lots of disciples. They sat under teachers, and they learned from them. But then the ultimate goal wasn't just to fill their heads with knowledge. The ultimate goal was then to become like the teacher and then to begin to teach and create disciples underneath them. And so with Jesus, he says, I've made you into disciples. That's not written there. But Jesus had his disciples. He says, now I want you to go and do for someone else what I have already done for you. Go and make disciples. So we're called to make disciples, and we're going to make disciples of who? All nations, everyone. You see, early on, it seemed as if, though, the Jewish faith, well, it was just for Jewish people. But it was Jesus, when he shows up, he begins to include those who are outside. I mean, women and Samaritans. And so Jesus says, all nations. Now, everybody gets included. And so as you go out and you proclaim the good news, in fact, as you go to baptize and teach, which is what's coming up next, you're going to do this for everyone. And you get to do that because, well, I told you to. The authority's been given to me. You're going to go and make disciples. You're going to teach them so that they become like me. And so who all gets included? Everyone, all nations. And so for you and me, like this means that no one gets excluded from the transforming power of the gospel. Every person, as Paul would say in Romans, is a sinner who is broken and in need of grace. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And so we all need grace. We all can get grace because of the work of Jesus and because of the declaration that we are called to make disciples of everyone. And so when you and I hear this call, not only today, but every time we revisit it, may we be reminded of those in our midst who have yet to hear convincingly the good news of the power of Jesus to save. So now comes the how. We've talked about, Jesus has authority. We're called to make disciples. They're going to look like Jesus and live like Jesus and learn from Jesus. And they're going to be, everyone's going to be included. And so now how do we do that? Jesus is very clear. It's the twofold approach. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism, and certainly as we understand in the United Methodist Church, is a naming and a claiming. It's a beginning. It's an inauguration, if you will, a new beginning. In fact, Jesus himself, before he set out in his earthly ministry, was baptized by John down at the Jordan River. And so it was there that Jesus began his ministry. And so it's at baptism that you and I begin this process of being made into the likeness of Christ. We begin our discipleship journey. And then following baptism, we are to teach them to obey everything. And so there's a beginning with baptism, and then there is this ongoing teaching of obedience. And I want us to point this out. There's teaching. But again, like any good disciple who learns from so that they can live like, it's not just a knowledge thing, but there's action that is part of it. It's a coupling of learning something in our head and living it out, teaching them to obey. There is this twofold approach. Our desire, let's say it like this. Oftentimes, at least me speaking personally, I want to learn so that then I can understand. And oftentimes, understanding is where it stops. Oh, well, now I understand why Jesus did this. But then that doesn't always translate into obedience. And so when it comes to becoming a disciple, what we learn has to be coupled with how we act. What we learn, what is taught to us, must be obeyed. And so I had a quote from Bishop William Bill McAlealy, who was a great mentor of mine at a really important season of my life, said this, and I've used this 1,000 times before, that we already know, he said it to me and he used my name, he said, Ben, we already know more than we're willing to do. And he referenced the time that we spend in the church just teaching and learning, and yet what we're willing to do with it oftentimes results in very, very little. And so what we have to do is we have to not only teach, but we have to obey. We have to couple what we're learning with how we act, how we love, how we treat one another. And so one other thing that I would like to say, if I can get that on my screen here, is that our desire to understand should only be fueled by our willingness to obey. that our desire to understand should only be fueled by our willingness to obey. And so when it comes to making disciples, when it comes to becoming a disciple, we have to couple this knowledge with action. We couple teaching with opportunity. We couple learning with obedience. And so learning is no good without obedience, and obedience really is no good if we don't dive deeper and deeper, because the more that we learn, the more opportunities there are to be obedient. And then finally, so we've got the sort of who, what, when, how, and it's going to happen. But in the end, we get, this is no longer a command, but a reminder. And I think this might be the most valuable piece of what we read in the Great Commission, is Jesus at the end, his literally the final words of his final words, like this is the very last one. He says, "And surely I am with you always. I am with you always." The beauty of Christ, what we celebrate every Christmas, is that God put on flesh, moved into the neighborhood, incarnation. God became one of us. And Jesus says, "Let me remind you that you will never be alone. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." This is called the Great Commission. Not the Great Mission, but the Great Commission. The co simply means that you and I do this work not on our own, but we do so with Christ. Paul would say we are co-laborers with Christ, that there is, that I have a role and you have a role and Christ has a role, and we work together to make disciples, to advance the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, do not be worried. You're not going to be alone. I am going to be with you always. You and I get to be a part of what God is doing. We get to be an integral part of seeing the transforming grace of Jesus that comes from his resurrection, from his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. We get to be front and center and part of that as we love people, as we teach them, as we baptize them, and as we usher them in to the kingdom as they become disciples of Jesus Christ. So you and I have one solid command, and it's this: to go therefore, because of the authority of Christ, and to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in his name, and to teach them everything that he's taught, while walking in the confident assurance, knowing that he is with us. We do not do this work alone. So our next steps and things I want you to consider. Number one is simply this: asking the question, how am I actively living out the Great Commission? How are the steps of my life, whether it's in your home right now with your family, whether it's in the conversations that you're having with people at work, even if it's on a Zoom call, how is it that you are living out your call to make disciples of all nations? There's opportunities before us. There's technology that enables us to continue in relationships. Just because we can't be together doesn't mean we can't continue in deep and abiding relationships. And so I want to encourage you to look for ways in which you can disciple someone else. How are we living out the Great Commission? If there's someone you have in mind, someone you would like to walk alongside with you that you might be able to pour in, I would love to help facilitate that. If I can do anything to help you facilitate that conversation, if I can provide you a resource, we would love to do that. How are you living out the Great Commission? And then to ask that more specifically, in what ways are you going? Therefore go. What ways are we reaching beyond where we sit right now? And maybe the question is simply to ask this: has the gospel landed on me and just sitting there? It was never meant to end with you or me. It always comes to us on the way to someone else. So where is the gospel headed now that you and I have received it and experienced it for ourselves? And then here's another question in a more detailed fashion. Are you learning? Teach them these things. What are you learning and what are you teaching? Are you learning anything? Are you continuing to dive and to dig into the Word of God? Are you offering that up to someone else? Are you teaching anyone? And if so, the next question is, what's your level of obedience? How are you teaching obedience to someone else? How are you coupling what you're learning with what you're doing? How are you helping someone else to learn and then to act? And then the final thing I want to offer to you is just a simple reminder that Jesus himself gives to us. I'm with you always. Even in quarantine, even when you're trying to lead someone, even when you're trying to disciple someone, even when you're trying to live out the Great Commission, I am with you. You don't have to do this alone. It's way too great a work for you and I to shoulder on our own. He is with us. But it's certainly a work we can't completely just give away and just assume that God's going to do all of it. I believe he can. But I believe what a gracious gift that God invites us to be co-laborers in what he's doing and what he's up to in the world. And you and I get to sit front and center to watch his transforming grace come to life in people's life as we live out the Great Commission to go, therefore, to all the nations, to baptize them and teach them and make them into disciples of Jesus. Thank you again for tuning in with us. I want to encourage you to find an opportunity to wade out into the water and to be faithful as Jesus calls you to this Great Commission.